Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, episode 14 of my third season. In today's video, I talk about new electric response vehicles to fight crime on three wheels, Tesla Cybertruck sales forecast may be overly optimistic, 20 years in a river makes this $8,500 Acura NSX one hell of a project, tires are the next frontier for automotive data collection and safety, GM explores using ChatGPT in vehicles, and Aging Wheels offers up a different side of car YouTube. If this is your first time here, thanks for coming by. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years. I'm sharing my enthusiasm for all automotive topics with you. Let's begin. New electric response vehicles to fight crime on three wheels. Mahail and White Motorcycle Concepts will collaborate on EV, which will arrive later this year. Automotive engineering firm Mahail has joined forces with UK-based firm White Motorcycle Concepts to develop a new electric three-wheeled police and emergency response vehicle. Support by the Department of Transport and Innovate UK, the new electric three-wheeler will be based on a Yamaha Tri-City 300, which will swap its combustion engine for a fully electric powertrain that will offer a range of up to 100 miles. The new EV will enable emergency services to comply with forthcoming legislation and achieve their net zero ambitions, according to the two firms. The joint venture will build on WMC's success with the WMC 300 FR hybrid three-wheeled motorcycle, which was developed in conjunction with the Northamptonshire Police. WMC says the new electric version will make use of the firm's patented V duct, a Venturi duct that passes air through the center of the motorcycle that reduces drag, thus improving efficiency. Mahail's role in the project will be to determine the optimal powertrain specifications required for the new machine. The firm plans to analyze a number of components, including traction motors and charger systems, to create the best solution for the inbound response vehicle. The hybrid three-wheeled bikes we now have in our fleet are providing an alternative, practical, and very visible way for our neighborhood police officers to get out and about in their community, said Northamptonshire's police chief, constable, and UK police lead for motorcycle, Nick Audrey. We need to continue to ensure we are prepared for the future with a sustainable fleet that not only meets the green agenda, but also enables us to deliver the policing services our communities need and want. Recent testing by the Metropolitan Police has confirmed that the new response vehicle is suitable for high-speed work and remains stable even when equipped with heavy panniers. The project is set to conclude in March of this year with a follow-up project to develop a prototype units planned. A small number of motorcycles will make series production. So, yeah, there you go. You think this concept will catch up worldwide, maybe into the States for small communities? I wonder, since they're trikes, that the officer's ability, motorcycle riding abilities, are less critical. Comment down below what you guys think. I'm not a motorcycle rider, but I'd like to hear from you guys. So, yeah, let's move on to the next story. Tesla's Cybertruck sales forecast may be overly optimistic. Tesla Cybertruck's sales estimates reduced by Morgan Stanley. The highly anticipated electric Cybertruck from Tesla has been the subject of much hype and speculation since its introduction in 2019. However, a recent analysis by investment firm Morgan Stanley has cast doubt on the sales potential of the futuristic pickup truck. According to unconfirmed reports, Tesla has already received 1.6 million pre-orders for the Cybertruck, leading to some to predict that the company will sell hundreds of thousands of units annually. However, the Morgan Stanley report suggests that the reality may be far different. The report predicts that the Cybertruck will more likely be an enthusiast cult car with far more limited volume, with sales at around 50,000 units per year. This is a significant reduction from the previous estimates and could have a major impact on Tesla's bottom line. Tesla has indicated that production of the Cybertruck will begin this summer in limited quantities, with mass production ramping up next year. The vehicle was originally supposed to start at $39,900 in a single motor configuration. The Morgan Stanley report suggests that the Cybertruck may have more value in a cultural or Zeitgeist sense than in a direct economic sense. The report's author also asks readers to consider how many Cybertrucks can roll up to a parent-teacher conference or a youth soccer match at the same time before losing some of its appeal. While Tesla fans may be skeptical of the Morgan Stanley report, it is worth noting that the investment firm has a track record of accurately predicting trends in the automotive industry. If the report predictions are accurate, it could have a significant implications for Tesla's future growth and profitability. Despite this potential challenges facing the Cybertruck, Tesla remains one of the most innovative and forward-thinking companies in the automotive industry. The company's focus on electric and autonomous vehicles has helped to revitalize the industry and could lead to a more sustainable, efficient transportation system in the future. As Tesla continues to push the boundaries of what is possible in the automotive industry, it will be interesting to see how the market responds to the Cybertruck and other new vehicles from the company. While there may be some uncertainty surrounding the sales potential of the Cybertruck, there is no doubt that Tesla will continue to be a major player in the industry for years to come. True, with the delays of the Cybertruck from prototype to getting to the manufacturing with, you know, late production runs here this summer, the question I have to ask is, do I think Tesla has missed a boat? Because look at the competition. Yet when they first announced this in 2019, there was no heard of an idea of an electric EV pickup truck category from the other big three manufacturers. But look now what we have. Ford releasing their F-150 Lightning, GM with their Hummer EV1, and now their Suburban or Silverado and GMC versions of the EVs, you know, powertrain setups, and now they're branching off into their Blazers EVs as well. You know, what do you guys think? Do you think Tesla may have missed the boat by all of these delays and everything, and the other manufacturers were able to ramp up quicker and, you know, take the lead? Yeah, comment down below what you guys think. Our next story. 20 years in a river makes this $8,500 Acura NSX one hell of a project. We're sure all those years of neglect will buff out with no problem. Wink, wink. These days, a first-generation Acura NSX is going to easily cost you at least $50,000, probably more, especially if you want one that doesn't have a ton of miles on it. So you might be surprised to hear that a 1990 Acura NSX with only 39,000 miles on the odometer recently sold for $8,500. And no mistaking, left any zeros off the price. $8,500 United States dollars. You might assume that there's a catch, and you would be correct. The Acura NSX in question spent 20 years at the bottom of a river. Oh, poor car. CarScoop reports that the river-dwelling NSX was recently sold by LSX Salvage for an incredibly low $8,500 after drivers found it in 2019 while looking for a different car. Apparently, it had been stolen 20 years ago before being dumped in the river, and as you can see, it's very much worse for the wear. The engine is missing, the windows are broken, the A-pillar's been damaged, and the entire car is filled with muck and more than a few plants. But you know, other than that, it'll still in pretty good condition. Believe it or not, Road and Track actually found the new owner, Jay Bozeman, one of the co-founders of Helix Auto Works, and apparently he plans to get it back up and running again. But Bozeman's still not sure whether to try to fully restore it or to turn it into a track car. It's pretty salvageable except for the obvious stuff like engines probably trashed, transmissions probably trashed, wiring's probably trashed, Bozeman told Road and Track, but the body panels are all aluminum, so there's nothing going to rust. He's also not put off by the damage to the A-pillar, telling Road and Track, there's some damage that occurred after it was pulled out of the water at the A-pillar, but we have a lead on a donor part for that. We're not sure this is the smartest buy anyone ever made, at least from a financial perspective, but we do appreciate that there's someone out there who's crazy enough to try and rescue this poor, neglected NSX. After all, it's never asked to spend the majority of its life in the bottom of a river. It deserves a second chance in life, and I totally agree. I don't know if you could make it roadworthy again, but I'm sure it would probably make for a great track car. Yeah. If money was no object, comment down below if you would spend time bringing this car back to life. Tires are the next few frontier for automotive data collection and safety. The greater weight and longer service intervals of EVs make tire wear an important safety factor. Tire sensors are likely to become smarter and generate more important data for drivers in the coming years as electric vehicles become more prominent, industry executives say. That's an important safety factor. EVs are generally heavier than gasoline-powered vehicles and generate massive torque, leading to faster tire wear rates. EVs have a service intervals, he says. They don't get to repair shops as frequent, so no one professional is looking at the tires. That leads to increased risk. Major tire manufacturers such as Goodyear, Michelin, Continental, and Bridgestone are developing advanced sensors and experimenting with products to help tires last longer and give drivers notice of when they might need to be serviced. If you don't personally monitor them, you end up with an increased risk of an accident and risk of tire blowouts and greater braking distances, he said. Continental, for instance, is developing intelligent sensors that it says will come will do more than monitor tire pressure, now an industry standard. They will gauge tire temperature, detect punctures, alert vehicle owners of problems. Goodyear, meanwhile, is partnered with self-driving truck company Gatik to produce a proof-of-concept technology that estimates road friction and sends real-time information to the vehicle's automated driving system. The technology was deployed this winter as part of a pilot program in the Toronto area. The icy road conditions provided an opportunity to validate findings on the road that we already found in the lab, said Aaron Spring, Goodyear Senior Director of Material Science. You can get an idea of what road conditions are by just looking at the weather, but what you don't get by doing that is the actual friction levels, she said. We can now measure that and send it back and forth to vehicles. Goodyear expects tire sensor technology to become integral to connected vehicle systems of the future that will aim to monitor road conditions, give that tire providers the only physical link between the vehicle and the roadway, she said. The Gatik partnership shows that this isn't just a theoretical exercise, Spring said. Tire makers are also developing designs to meet the need of EVs. Bridgestone, for example, last year launched its R192E tire designed for use on electric buses. The tires have heavy load capacity and lower rolling resistance than traditional bus tires, helping manufacturers boost range. Anything that we can do to extend range is beneficial, said Robbie Hamby, Director of Commercial Product Strategy at Bridgestone Americas. Like others, Bridgestone is developing modern tire sensors to collect different streams of data about tire performance and translate that into value-added health services that can be embedded in relevant applications in the vehicle, said Dan Levy, Executive Director of Product Mobility Solutions at Bridgestone Americas. Tire health should not be limited to simple dashboard warning lights, he said in an email to Automotive News. Tactile Mobility, meanwhile, is developing virtual sensor software that it says can take data generated from physical sensors and utilize algorithms to generate findings about the tire's health. Road grip, for example, is something that's basically impossible to measure with physical sensors. But by utilizing a virtual sensor, it can become possible. If you take data from dozens of sensors, such as wheels, speed and acceleration and weight and other factors, you can get a very good result on tire grip, he said. Last year, Tactile Mobility launched its tire health monitoring system, which it says can provide a 360-degree view of current and future tire health statuses. The system can monitor tire wear, grip, stiffness, wheel balance, and other factors crucial to a vehicle's safety, the company said in a news release. He hoped the system would help alert drivers of problems as early as possible and help companies design tires that can perform better and last longer. Yep. Definitely getting more and more smarter. So what do you guys think? Good thing, bad thing? Or is it like, seems like Big Brother's getting more and more to in our driving lives and everyday habits? On to our next story. GM explores using ChatGPT in vehicles. The new GM logo is seen on the facade of the General Motors headquarters in Detroit, Michigan, on March 16th, 2021. Pictures taken, blah, blah, blah. General Motors is exploring use of ChatGPT as part of its broader collaboration with Microsoft Corp, a company executive told Reuters. Yeah. ChatGPT is going to be everything, being everything, Vice President Scott Miller said in an interview last week. Chatbot could be used to access information on how to use vehicle features normally found in an owner's manual, program functions such as a garage door code, or integrate schedules from a calendar, Miller said. This shift is not just about one single capability like the evolution of voice commands, but instead it means that customers can expect their future vehicles to be far more capable and fresh overall when it comes to emerging technologies, a GM spokesman said last Friday. The news was first reported by website Semaphore, which said that the American automaker was working on a virtual personal assistant that uses AI models behind ChatGPT. Earlier this year, Microsoft announced a multi-billion dollar investment in ChatGPT owner OpenAI and said its aim to add the chatbot technology into all of its products. Microsoft, like other big tech companies, has been ramping up its efforts to embed more technology in vehicles, from infotainment systems to automated driving to operating systems that can control battery performance and manipulate and multiple other functions of a vehicle. GM in 2021 partnered with Microsoft to accelerate the commercialization of driverless vehicles. Shares of GM were down about 2% on Friday amid a broader drop. There we go. So what are you guys thinking? Is we're getting more and more Skynet, it seems to be, introducing into the environment or into the everyday culture. Yeah. Tell me what you guys think. Aging Wheels offers up a different side of car YouTube. Robert Dunn isn't interested in lap times or high horsepower supercars. He likes the weird stuff, and that's what his YouTube channel, Aging Wheels, gives us. Robert Dunn isn't your typical automotive YouTuber. He doesn't have any supercars or a mansion on one of the coasts. He isn't all about pushing vehicles to their limits or flipping them for a profit. No, his channel, Aging Wheels, is meant for folks like you and me who love oddball cars we wouldn't see anywhere else. Cars that time have forgotten. Dunn started his YouTube channel back in 2014, but its current iteration really started to take shape about 5 or 6 years ago when he got more into oddball vehicles and project cars. There are a few types of things Dunn focuses on with Aging Wheels: forgotten electric vehicles, Soviet-era disasters, and a retired school bus he's converting into an RV. What initially started as a hobby for Dunn has become a full-time career. Quote, when I started my first job, I wanted to get back into YouTube as a sort of hobby thing to do outside of work that could potentially turn into a job, Dunn told Jalopnik in a phone interview. I didn't really think it was going to, and I just kept doing it on and off for a long while until I got more serious about it. Since the beginning, Dunn, who is based in Missouri, has been churning out content you'd have had trouble fitting into one neat category. One week he may be trying to convert an old Ford Escape to electric using parts from a wrecked Tesla. The following episode might be technical deep dive on rebuilding the two-stroke engine in his Trambit, or showing off his fleet of almost complete forgotten about CUDA, a short-lived electric vehicle from the early 2010s. He may even be fiddling with his ex-pizza delivery vehicle, a three-wheeled Renault Robin, in order to make it vaguely safe to drive. If you're into these sorts of vehicles, there's nowhere better to be on the internet than Dunn's channel. But Aging Wheels is about more than just cars. In a way, it's about Dunn himself. People come to Aging Wheels because they like Dunn, his subdued presentation style, and his willingness to show his mistakes rather than edit them out. That approach makes Dunn a bit of a rarity when it comes to YouTube personalities. Quote, "I feel like my audience watches me and the content is somewhat secondary," Dunn said, "but as part of me is the cars that I'm interested in." If you're a regular viewer of Aging Wheels, you'll are aware of the hundreds of hours of work Dunn puts into his vehicles. He's not just chasing oil or spark plugs. He's really getting in there, removing entire EV battery packs, tearing down engines, or working on his school bus motorhome, which has admittedly been a slow project for Dunn. Impressionably, Dunn is completely self-taught. Before his life as a YouTuber, Dunn was a software engineer, a skilled, he has said, didn't translate at all to the world of wrenching on cars. In a previous life, Dunn was an Android developer who did a number of very unnotable things, including the kiosks at Enterprise rental car branches. He had done some wrenching on cars in the past, but had never delved deep into DIY repairs until he launched his YouTube channel. He kept at it, and little by little he learned and grew as a mechanic while putting out videos. Quote, "I generally really interested in something and I just go on these huge deep dives," Dunn said. "When I'm interested in something, I'll watch a bunch of YouTube videos on that topic or browse articles, and I'll just absorb stuff slowly over time." There's one more feature of Dunn's car videos and his woodworking videos posted on his Under Dunn channel that you may not expect from an automotive YouTuber. Open, frank discussions about mental health, Dunn's own struggles with it. He often admits to having trouble getting motivated because of his ADHD, which he said he had to deal with forever. It's an issue that's by being his own boss. While working in the shop, it's frustrating how easy he can get it is to get distracted and forget what I'm doing. I'm constantly go to get something small and find myself 30 minutes later pacing around, developing an argument out loud or rehearsing some argument for a future video, Dunn explained. So basically pacing around, talking to myself. Dunn also talks about the tricks other YouTubers use to make a project seem effortless, with time lapses or editing out struggles, and how they have a negative effect on his self-esteem. It can be hard to tell how much work a project took and how much time, depending on how the video is edited. I'll try to pepper in comments in my videos, like, I spent a day on this, I spent a week on this, I wasted another week, Dunn said. Dunn also speaks candidly about how depression has impacted him, constant output, something a few social media personalities are willing to discuss publicly. His channel has been known to go dark for a few weeks or even a month at a time, depending on what else is happening in his life. I haven't been around for 2 months. Here's why. It's because I've been sad, Dunn said on a humorous tone during our conversation. All that being said, Dunn admits that there are some situations where having ADHD is actually an advantage for him and his channel. It's next to impossible for me to learn something I'm not interested in. That's the main reason my channel always follows what I'm interested in. Sure, that helps prevent burnout, but I can get into something if I'm not well into it, he said. ADHD helps a ton with research knowledge, developing arguments, writing, and other things I can fixate on. For Dunn and Aging Wheels, there's always a lot going on. His main focus right now is finishing that Tesla-powered Ford Escape, which he hopes will be done by June and all ready for some shakedown drives. Eventually, he hopes to apply what he's learned from this project to help him electrify his bus-turned-motorhome. During that time, he'll also be doing work on the rest of his fleet. His Cuda, his Lada, Renault Robin, whatever else he drags home. All in all, despite the trials and tribulations that have been Dunn's past year, he still has a positive outlook, not only on life, but on the job he feels lucky to have. I asked Dunn how he ended up with the historic offbeat vehicles featured on his YouTube channel. What captured his imagination in these unloved machines? Quote, I love it's just a different of them, he said. It's like Sobs, being different just for the sake of being different. Cool. I've never been to this guy's channel, but you know, after reading this article, I'm going to definitely give him a follow. I'll have a link to this article as well as a link to his channel in the show notes so you guys can check him out as well. So, yeah. There we go on that aspect. So, yeah. If you made it this far, thanks for watching the video. And, or depending on how you're listening to it, maybe the podcast. Leave a comment, like, share of this video, and be sure to follow me. Thank you.